their background, regardless of what they're involved in. We thank you that they are here tonight, Jesus. You came to save the world, Jesus. And you've called us to be ambassadors of your kingdom, to spread you, Lord. Forgive me of the times, Father, where I've pointed fingers, the times where I've judged, Lord. You've called me to glorify you in society, Father. You reminded me time and time again this week, Lord, to stay Christ-centered. We can't go wrong, Lord, if we stay Christ-centered. We cannot. So I give you praise this evening, Jesus. I give you praise, O God, for you alone are holy, you alone are worthy, Jesus. It is in your name that we pray, O Lord. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Be seated real quietly, please. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Renee. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. About 6 months ago, I don't know what was said. My son David, y'all know David, don't y'all? He's got a mohawk now. Crazy David, the one that told the teacher he got in trouble. And he said, Dad, the teacher said, I'm going to call your dad if you don't behave. He said, don't call my dad. I don't care. He's in jail. Only one problem, I haven't been in jail in 20 years. David's different. He told me the other night, we were walking from the baseball game, Dad, when I grow up, will you buy me an AK-47 assault rifle? I want to kill birds when I grow up. He's 6 years old. I need an AK-47 assault rifle. I love killing birds, Dad. But he told me about 6 months ago, I don't know what was said. He said something that I didn't like. It wasn't a cuss word or nothing. I said, David, don't say that again, son. I'm going to beat your behind. You showed me how to say it. What do you do? What do you do? My daughter, and I'm saying all this to make a point. My daughter wrecked her car. Well, she didn't. Some friend of hers wrecked her car. And she was scared, and rightly so, because at times I have a temper. But I had a... But the Lord has been showing me so much. It's not what you preach that teaches people. It's really how you live in front of them. It's really how you live. And I knew something was wrong. My wife walked into church. I need to talk. I knew something was wrong. She said, Julie wrecked the car. First thing you think as a parent is, oh, how much is it going to cost me? And she was mad. She was scared. Because I was going to get on to her. But I had a decision to make at that very moment. I heard my wife say, Julie wrecked the car. I wanted to pick up the phone. I don't know what I thought about it because it's going to cost me a couple thousand dollars to get it fixed. I took a deep breath. I just said, is she okay? And I thought to myself, God, I got a perfect opportunity to let her see Jesus right here and right now. I could react in a negative manner and show her who Jesus wasn't. I could go home, give her a hug, kiss her on her head, and say, I'm glad you're alive. Maybe you could have been dead. It's not so much what we say. That's the thing. That's why I don't really post that much about Scripture on Facebook anymore. Because we're so caught up in convincing people that we know more than them. Or that maybe if I say the right things, maybe I can talk them into living right. No. Once they see me and you live right, claiming to be believers, society will follow us. Jesus was our perfect, perfect prototype. He was my perfect example. Some people don't understand me because as much as I love Pastor Bronk, as much as I love Dave Roberson, as much as I love Gary Carpenter, I can live without all three of them. Pastor is my pastor. He's a man, but if I never saw them again, I could make it without them because I have a Bible. I have the Holy Ghost. And more than that, I have the perfect prototype. I have the perfect example that can teach me every single day by his lifestyle. And that prototype and that perfect example is one man named the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all that I need. And He gives me perfect example on how to conduct myself. Yesterday, we went to Miami to the Miami Hurricane spring game. I had another opportunity. I've never had been waited on in such a negative manner. There was a lady and a man. They treated us terrible. We were just having a good time. The food was terrible. There was another lady there complaining about the service. The lady was terrible. The man was terrible. The guys were getting mad. They were trying to figure out a way to sneak out of the restaurant without paying for the food. I said, no, 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 we can't do that, guys. I could have, in front of them, shown them who Jesus wasn't. I said, no, guys, we got to endure this. I said, I will tell the manager that we were treated wrong, but we got to endure this. Because what if that woman and that man, for some God unknown reason, walked in this church tonight and I would have ripped them at that restaurant yesterday over a cold sausage? And they were rude to us. Make no mistake, they were rude to us. But we handled it right. And hopefully I taught the boy something. See, I can easily preach to you on Sunday night on how to say the right things, but it's another thing for me to fulfill Scripture in front of you so that you may see who this powerful, awesome man Jesus Christ is. Listen to this real quick. I'm not going to keep you long. I've been wanting to pray for some of you for a while, but I'm not going to keep you long. Well, all we're going to talk about tonight is just Christian conduct. Christian conduct 101, we'll call it. See, the church has been saying the right thing for just too many years. Saying the right thing. I know an individual that you can talk to him eyeball to eyeball and he will convince you that he walks next to Jesus Christ every day. I'll just leave it at that. The point I'm making is he gives me such a beautiful appearance. Quote scripture upon scripture. The fruit in his life contradicts every single word that he says. The church is used to that. That's why I tell Alex and Renee, I used to want to argue scripture with everybody. The church has been arguing for years. Why don't we start loving? And we won't have to argue scripture. See, I taught Alex how to be real sarcastic. Now I got to try to take it from him. I should take it from myself too, but I don't argue no more. But Jesus is my perfect example. And please, guys, don't take this wrong. We got some of the greatest pastors on the face of this earth. Pastor Bronk and Pastor Dave and Pastor Gary are like, you probably won't find many men of God like that. But they don't give me my increase. They can't exalt me. That's the position of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said here. The words of Jesus, and I'm going to keep you long. Listen to this. Jesus wrote, I've been reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just going over them and over them, not to preach them, but to live them. I want to see how Jesus reacted in every single situation. The other night, I went out for a couple hours outside and read my Bible on my lanai. I don't know what it was this weekend, but Mexicans had parties everywhere. There was boom, 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 every corner of the Mockley. Boom, 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 boom. Whee! That's how we yell, Leo. Sorry, we yell crazy. A Mexican can be broke as heck, but they're going to have $400 booze that they're going to party on Saturday. They ain't got no money. But they get, and we went uptown, there was a party everywhere. Quinn was at a party last night, he wasn't even invited to. Parties everywhere. He said, Dad, that lady didn't like black people. I said, son, nobody was invited. It was a private party. Parties everywhere. So what I did yesterday, see, Jesus preached and he ministered when there was turmoil around him. So I went outside and I read, and there was a lady, oh my God, man, yelling up a storm. And that crazy music from Mexico. Oh, boom, 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 boom. That's all it does for 3 hours. That's all. You don't tell my Julio? Oh, boom, 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 boom. That they don't breathe. I said, gosh almighty. Oh, boom, 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 boom. So I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go outside in that turmoil with that noise. I'm going to read my Bible. I tried to gain some sanity. And I did. It was loud and it was annoying, but I stayed there for a couple hours just reading the scriptures. On purpose, getting used to the day when I'm going to have to preach the gospel, when people want to kill you and when they want to revile you and slander you because you're preaching the gospel. So I went out there sat in my chair and just read my Bible in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of noise, on purpose. Just reading the words of Christ. And listen to what he said in Luke 6. These are the words of Jesus. Listen to me now. Jesus is teaching me and you how to love certain individuals. He's not teaching me here how to love people in the church. He's not teaching me how to love Alex. Or Big Sexy or McKenzie or McElroy or Julio. He's teaching me here how to love a certain type of person. Listen to this now. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, but love your what? Enemies. Listen to this. How dare you, Jesus? He said, but love, it's Luke 6 and 35, but love your enemies. Have you ever wondered when you have an enemy? Now we know the first thing to say is Christians. We get so religious. They're my enemy, but I'm going to what anyway? I'm going to what? I'm going to love them anyway. They're my enemies. I'm going to love them anyway. Oh, you liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Love is an action, and the action of what love is behind that verse. Listen to what he said. But love your enemies. Listen to this. Listen to this now. We all claim we know there's people that don't like us. But we say within ourselves, I'm going to love them anyway. Wait a minute, buddy. Don't stop it there. That word love is an action word. And the action, the fruit of love is right there in that verse. He said, but love your enemies. Listen to this. Listen to this. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. He said, but love ye your enemies and do good to them. What? The doing good to your enemy, my friend, is the loving part. Saying that you love them is not the loving part. Anybody can say, I love you and not mean it. The loving part is doing good to your enemy when, even when you don't feel like it, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the Son of the living God, God himself said, love your enemies and do good to them. Saying I love you is not fulfilling scripture. Doing good to you is loving you, my friend. When you hate me and revile me and you can't stand nothing that I stand for. That is love, my friends. When I do good to you, knowing that you can't stand me. Listen to this now. Doing good is the fulfillment of loving them. See, but love your enemies, Homer. Do good and lend. Listen to that now. That word lend. It's not what you think it is. Listen to this. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, sons of God. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Listen to what it says again. Now, so Homer, love your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Lend to your enemies, hoping for nothing in return. In return for my love towards my enemy, hope for nothing but one thing, really. And your reward will be great. Keep loving. Keep doing it until the day I die. That's hard to do, man, when somebody rejects you. You feel like a punk. But Jesus wasn't a punk. And he commanded me to be persistent in my love towards those that don't like me. He said, your reward will be great. But this scripture here is not talking about love for Christians. It's talking about love to those that completely despise you. Jesus said, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward. These are the words of Jesus Christ to me, concerning those that maybe I don't really like. These are the words of Jesus Christ to me on how to conduct myself to a person that can't stand me. It's one thing to say, oh, I'm going to love them anyway. No, 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 no. Love is an action word here. He said, do good to those that hate you and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be what? Great. Listen to this. He seems to change the subject here. And you will be sons of the Most High. Listen to this now. Listen. For He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Listen now. I want you to listen. You got to catch this here. He said, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. The unthankful and the evil there that He's making a reference to is to our enemies. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, but love ye your enemies. He's talking to me and you concerning those that hate us. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward shall be great. For He is kind. God is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Who is the unthankful and the evil in the certain context that I'm preaching? Who would that be, though? Our what? Our enemies. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, but love ye your enemies. Listen. And do good and lend and hope for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. For He is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. The Bible is saying that God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. I asked you who the unthankful and the evil were. And we established that the unthankful and the evil were our enemies. But the Bible says that God is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Those that just can't stand us for our faith. Those that just can't stand us, period, because of what we stand for. Those that are jealous of me and you because of what we have. Those are the ones that Jesus said, for God is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. But wait a minute. God's not here. Jesus is not here. Listen to this. He said, but love your enemies and do good to them. And lend, hoping for nothing in return. Listen to this. And Julio and Homer, and your reward shall be great. For He is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. If God is no longer here, well, God's never been here. He has through Jesus. If Jesus is no longer here, and He said, if you love your enemy, your reward will be great in heaven, for He is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. How is God kind to the unthankful and the evil if Jesus Christ is no longer here? How is He kind to them? How? Somebody spit it out. Through us, my friend. You want to know why society does not want to worship the God that we serve? Because the church, the modern day church, knows very little about walking in love. He said, God is good to the unthankful and the evil. Through who? Through me and you. We can't even get along in the church. We can't even get along here. I'm guilty. Revival? You big dummy. Revival? We can't even get along in the church. He said, God is thankful to, God is good to the unthankful and the evil. Yes, He's good to them through our love that we demonstrate in His kingdom. Friends, if we can't get along in here, don't say revival again. It's vanity. You know what vanity means? It's in vain. It doesn't exist. He wrote this to me and you on how to get along with people that flat out hated us. And we can't even get along with each other in the church. We are His agents here. I saw something so awesome Friday night as 17 or 18 of our football players got together. And I cried a little bit. I just held it in. See, in my opinion, I mean, I live for the kids of this town. There's nothing I wouldn't do for me and my wife. God's given me a grace to handle y'all. Homer, I need a ride. Homer, I'm hungry. Homer, I'm hungry again. Homer, I need a ride. Give me, you know what though? God's put His grace on me, Alex. Because preaching up here is real easy. Demonstrating who Jesus Christ is another thing. And I'm so privileged to serve you guys. I'm so privileged. Yeah, I get tired sometimes. I'm not going to lie. But it's an awesome thing that God has brought you guys into my life. You guys have taught me. You've You guys are incredible to me and my wife. You're incredible to us. And it's an honor to serve you guys. And I really love you from all my heart. I'll never be rich as long as there's a need in this town. I don't care about saving up hundreds and thousands. I don't care. Now, when there's hungry people in this town, I don't care. I'll spend all my money. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. But you guys have taught me so much. 17 football players were here, and I think we had one of the best teams in the state last year. I like how Deidrin spoke up, and McKenzie, and Jimmy, and McEnroe, and Zach, and how they sort of acknowledge that we have to play together. We got 8, 9, 10 Division I players on our football team this year. But it don't mean nothing if you don't have no chemistry, man. You have all the talent in the world. But it don't mean nothing if you can't play together and submit to somebody. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. My God, we got this holy, undefiled word. But it does you no good out here. You had to put it, take it from there and put it in your spirit. Kids were saying we need to step up. Kids were acknowledging their egos, their hate for other people. And that was so good. And I think that's an awesome stepping stone to a state championship this year. We can stay humble and stay meek and play as one family together. But Jesus said in verse 36, same subject. So talking about our enemies. He said, therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Who does He want me and you to be merciful to? Towards? Or what? Our enemy, same subject. He says, therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Towards who? Towards us first, right? He said, but love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil through me and you. We demonstrate who God is through our conduct towards our enemies. If we can't stand our enemies, we just gave Jesus Christ a black eye because we are His ambassadors here on earth. We are. Jesus is no longer here, guys. We are His ambassadors. And if we can't love each other in the church, you'll never fulfill Luke chapter 6. We're to bring our enemies in, not by what we say, but how me and you live. And he continues, and I'm almost done. I don't preach that long, Leo. I'm kind of short. Not physically. I'm short when I preach. I'm 6'1". You just can't tell. I don't have my high heels on. He continues. He said, therefore, and be merciful. To who? To who? Be merciful to your enemies, just as your Father also is merciful. Then he says in 37, judge not. Judge not who? Judge not who? Come on. Okay, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not who? And you shall not be condemned. Forgive. Forgive who? And you shall be forgiven. Listen to what he says here. He says, judge not who? Your enemies. You know what I'm going to say next, don't you? We can't stop judging inside the... Oh, Lord. He says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Listen to what he said. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. He's saying, forgive your enemy, the one that stole from you, the one that reviled you, the one that slandered you, the one that burnt your car, the one that raped your wife, the one that killed your daughter, the one that killed your 4-year-old son. Jesus talk, my friend, is crazy talk. Jesus was crazy. You want me to not judge him? They killed my little boy, Jesus. You want me not to condemn him? You want me not to slander him? Yes, son. That's the way things operate in my kingdom. He said, judge. Now, we can't even stop judging in the church. He said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. If me not being judged is predicated on me not judging, then what happens when I judge? what happens? Then who's judged? Who? If I won't be judged, if I don't judge you, but if I judge you, then who's going to be judged? Me in return. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. What qualifies me not to be condemned is me not to what? So what if I condemn you? Then what? Who's going to be condemned? Me. He said, forgive Homer, and you shall be forgiven. So if I forgive you, when I sin against the Father, He's going to forgive me. So what if I don't forgive you? Then who's not going to forgive me? Who? Jesus. So you hold on to a grudge. You hold on to unforgiveness, my friends. It will take you to your grave. You want to keep sickness on you? You want to keep cancer on you? Go ahead and walk with an unforgiving heart. You'll torture yourself in a spiritual sense. This is where the church has missed it for many years. He's talking about our, and I'm almost done. He's talking about our conduct towards people that hate us. He said, those that hate you, Homer, don't judge them. Be merciful to them. Don't condemn them, Homer. Homer, son, forgive them. Why? Because we may be the only Jesus that they ever see. So that man killed our food, gave us terrible service. But doesn't that man that's full of hate deserve what Jesus gave me 21 years ago? His blood and His forgiveness and His love. I didn't deserve it 21 years ago. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve His love. I didn't deserve His compassion. I didn't deserve His forgiveness, but yet He gave it to me. Or that waitress and that waiter that treated us bad. What if they were on the verge of suicide and were murdered and their last chance was to go to the little town? They walk in this church and see this preacher preaching about love that hated on them over a cold sausage. Do they not deserve Jesus? Jesus told me to do one thing. He said, forgive. Don't condemn. Jesus said, don't judge. Jesus told me, forgive. But the church has taken this text here and they turned it into money. Listen to this. I'm almost done for real. I ain't lying. It says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That verse is used during offerings. Only one problem. It's not talking about money. Notice what he says here. Same context. This is almost done in 5 minutes. He says, but love your enemies. Listen to me. I beg you. Listen to me. I beg you. I beg you. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. 38, give, and it will be given to you. I'm going to stop there. He tells me, hold you to not judge. He tells me to forgive. He tells me, what else did He tell me? I forgot. What's that? Not to condemn. Then He says, give and it will be given to you. Give and it will be given to you. Give and it will be given to you. In context, in these last words, He said, Homer, your enemies are harsh and they're cruel. And words can really hurt, my friends. Words hurt. They do. Actions hurts. You know, when you reach out to a person, and if I'm to forgive somebody for sinning against me 490 times a day, then I can approach them 490 times a day. It's never ending, never ceasing, the love of God. He says, Homer, judge not, condemn not. What was the other one? Forgive. Then he said, give and it shall be given unto you. The churches use that verse for money when they take up an offering. Big dummies. He said, give. Still talking about my enemies. He said, give and it shall be given to you. Do you know what he wants me to give? Or you know how I give fulfilling that verse? When I judge not, guess what I gave? I gave them a taste of heaven. When I condemn not my enemy, I give them who Jesus Christ is. When I forgive my enemy, I give them all that the kingdom of God is. It has nothing to do with money. Though I can give you money, but in context, it's saying give and they will be given to you. What do you want me to give, Jesus? When you forgive them, you give them all that I am, son. When you don't condemn them, then you give them all that heaven is, and your reward will be great because they were your enemies, they reviled you, they hated you, but in that you stood strong in my conviction and you extended my blood to them and you showed them who I was, son. Give and it shall be given to you. Who do I give to, Jesus? Your enemy. The one that your flesh wants to judge, let your spirit dominate what your flesh wants to do and don't judge. Give and it shall be given. What am I given? All of the instruction and love that's in heaven in my heart is what I'm giving. Do I walk in everything that I preach? No, sir, and no, ma'am. But the more and more I read the gospel, the more and more I'm talking myself into on how to treat people. Give and it shall be given. How do I give, Jesus? When that person that hates you, when they're talking about you in front of society, love them. How do I love them, God? Do good to them, Lord, but they in front of people, Lord, they embarrass me. Just do good to them. How do I do good, Lord? They mocked me and my family. They stole from me, Jesus. That man tried to rape my daughter, Lord. It's hard, Jesus, it's hard. But his commandment, his word remains forevermore. It does not fluctuate. Even that rapist, as much as we might not agree with it, in the eyes of this man named Jesus Christ, even that rapist, even that adulterer, even that fornicator, even that murderer, even that lesbian, even that thief, even that drunkard, even that drug addict deserves Jesus Christ. And we are his holy ambassadors to carry out the love of God to their life. We have to stay Christ-centered. Jesus told Simon Peter as he was walking towards the boat on water. Simon Peter was scared. He thought it was a ghost. He said, "It is I," as Jesus walked on the water. He said, "It is I." And the disciples were shaking, scared. They thought it was a ghost. And Simon Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, ask me to come to you, Lord." He said, "Come, Peter. It is I, the Master." Jesus said, "Come, it is I." Jesus spoke a word. He said, "Come, it is I." Simon Peter began to walk on water. Instead of looking straight ahead, the word of God, "Come, Peter, it is I." He began to look at the side, see that the wind was strong, that the waves were high. Instead of just looking at the Master, the Creator, there's no doubt in my mind he could have walked on water all the way into the arms of Jesus Christ. But the cares of this world, the waves, the wind, affected his thought process. When all he had to do was obey the word of the Lord. We want revival. we want all that God is in our life, we must learn how to love. And I know this sounds like a contradiction of what we say, and it's really not. It's just the truth. Until we learn how to love each other in here, we will never fulfill Luke 6. Some of you might love more than me. Some of you might not. I know where I'm at. I know I have to improve my people skills. And what do? I'll get up and read the Bible in the morning and try my best to take advantage of every single situation in my life. Will you fail again? Probably. But I'm God's ambassador here on earth. And He's called me concerning those that hate me. He's telling me, Jesus Christ is telling me as His Son, judge not, condemn not, and forgive. If I can walk in those three and I can love and do good to them that hate me, listen to what He said, and it can't be undone. He said there will be a great reward for you. You know why that reward will be so great? Because those that hated me and you will truly taste and see who this man named Jesus Christ was through our conduct. If we can't show society who He is, He'll have a black eye to the day till we see Him again. The love of God is demonstrated through me and you towards people. I know sometimes it's hard and we got to swallow our pride. But nonetheless, we've been commissioned and His word stands supreme forevermore. That He is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. God is kind through those that hate me and you, through me and you loving them. Jesus Christ is no longer here. We are His holy ambassadors here. We can all help each other out in this walk. We can all help each other out. Like what Mackenzie said to me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, Homer, some of us are weak in some areas and some of us are stronger. Some of us are stronger in some areas and some of us are weaker. We can all help each other out. He's so right. Because some areas that I'm strong in, you might be weak. And some areas that you're weak in God, I may be strong. And we can help each other out. Deidre overheard me the other day. Said, this person hadn't called me in a while, D. And he got me with the word. He said, well, why don't you do what you preach? Won't you call them? Oh, DJ, shut up. But he was so right. You know what? And I called that person that day. But he said somebody didn't call him. You know what I told him? Well, call him, DJ. Ain't that what the word says? But he was so right. He taught me that day. Quit complaining about them not calling you. Pick up the phone. Swallow your spit. And call them. Just so everybody knows of. He's talking about me. No, I'm not talking about anybody in here. It's our secret, me and Deidre. And I called. They called me back. It was that simple. And that was a person in church, man. And he wants me to love my enemy? He wants me to love my enemy? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I got a long ways to go, man. But I did. I didn't get mad at that guy. They got smart with our boys. I didn't. I wanted to. I swallowed my spit 3 or 4. I got mad. But whether we agree with this or not, it doesn't really matter because it's set in stone. Your vote didn't count. This is what it is. Whether your preacher agrees with it, whether your mama agrees with it, whether your daddy, I don't care. Their vote don't count. This is holy and it's undefiled and it is the word of the living God. This is the standard that we live by. Plain and simple. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give what? When I judge not, guess what I did? I gave. When I forgave, guess what I did? I gave to that person all that heaven is. That was pretty simple, wasn't it? You know that the gospel is simple. Jesus is simple. We could just grab a hold of that. There's some stuff that I could put some revelation that I've gotten over the years I could put on Facebook, and where Kathy, people would immediately, Kathy, say, "Oh my God, that is awesome. That's great stuff, Pastor Homer." But what does it avail if I can't walk in love? And I say this to let you know that even what I think I know means nothing to God. I can debate with the best of them. Any professor, I can debate with him. But if I can't do it in love, it is vanity. But I have learned the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months to just be quiet. Because if they think their words are right, and I think my words are right, and there's no love and power behind either words, then all the words are vanity. But if the words that I speak to that person are in love and the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll win every time. It's our time, my friends, to fulfill the Scriptures. He needs me and you to be kind to the unthankful and the evil. He's calling on me and you to walk according to this book that's holy and undefiled, and to demonstrate to society who Jesus Christ is. Believe it or not, Jesus Christ needs me and you. He's not here anymore. Amen. Bow your heads with me this evening.